Our first song this morning is on page 601, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. This morning is on page 377. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. So please stand as we sing.
Spring. Good morning. Are y'all joyful today? I couldn't look at y'all because I was reading the thing and it was going fast. So I don't know whether you did a good job or not, but if you're joyful, that will work. So this is our portion of our service where we go to God and thank Him for all the things that He has done for us and is going to do for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we are Your children. And You provide for us and You protect us. We don't have to worry about the things that are going on in the world because You are with us and You are for us. So may we always, now and when we get to heaven, be just overwhelmed by who and what You are. And we thank You that we have the word that we're going to use today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is our custom to prepare ourselves for the study of God's Word by having a few moments of silent prayer. And during that time, we have the opportunity to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that even though the world is going mad, and there's so many things that are going on, we can have peace in our soul because we have been learning doctrine, we understand the doctrine, and we use the doctrine. We apply it to our circumstances. And we're so thankful for that. It's so important, and we always we'll give thanks for that. So we pray that You will help us to focus and concentrate this morning. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get started, I want to give you a report about some of us. I think there was about 20 of us that went to Lost Pines Bible Church to celebrate their new church. And we had a nice ride on the way there because we were trying to miss the bicyclers. And so we went on just farmed market roads. And I saw a lot of beautiful land and territory that I hadn't seen before. We did get lost a little bit one time, but we were able to get past that. And when we got to the church, It was a nice looking church. A lot of people were there. But when we went inside, it looked like this wasn't even the same thing we were looking at the outside. Have you ever seen something and it looks a certain size? And you walk up onto the building, but when you go inside and you start looking, it's like twice the size that it looked like when you saw it on the outside. And it was a beautiful church, and they had a lot of food. A lot of food. So we were enjoying the everything that was going on. And Cliff had a lady that plays the harp, and she was going to play it for us. And Cliff kind of gave it away. He said, "Now, when she plays the harp, it's not like most people how they play the harp." He said, "But most people can fall asleep when a harp is playing." And he said, "Not this one." And so she got up, and her first song was Amazing Grace, and she had the tune To the House of the Rising Sun, and she combined these. And this was, we were kind of in shock that she was going to do that. Now, she would sing all the words to Grace, you know, and so we got ready, and she was expert. I mean, she could play that thing. The people that were there, I'm looking at them, they're going like this, because I've never heard anything like that. And so she played that, and then she played a lot of songs. Some of them, I think she had written herself, but she had classics as well. But she would give her testimony as she was. She would do a song, and she would say when she wanted to play a harp. What was it? How old was she?
Six years old.
She wanted to play a harp. In the sixth grade. Okay. And anyway, she talked about how the Lord just kept opening doors and opening doors for her, and so that made it very interesting as well. And so anyway, we've really enjoyed it. I had to leave a little early, but three things stand out in my mind. Of course, the building was beautiful. I'm so happy for Cliff and Terry. That's Cliff Beveridge is the pastor, and Terry is his wife. That standed out. And, of course, the food. And then that lady. I mean, you couldn't listen to her and go away without and forgetting about it, because it was really good. So, anyway, when these things come along, it's really great for us to go. And we had camaraderie the whole time. So I just wanted to give a little report about that. Okay, now we are going to continue where we left off. See if this is going to stay put where it's supposed to be. Oh, here it is. Okay, I just figured out what I did wrong. I was up here and I kept doing something wrong. But it wasn't the computer, it was me. But now I have it. Okay, I'm going to put this on the board. Remember, we're having a nationalism and with regards to the crisis and personal crisis as well. And so we are starting, when you see the letter to the left, we're just going with the alphabet as we go through, and we have P, so that's where we're going to start. And no nation can survive functioning on principle alone without a pivot of mature believers. Now, y'all have been here throughout this these lessons, and so you should know what a pivot is and how important the mature believers are. But let's look at it again. No nation can survive functioning on principle alone. Now, every nation has principles of how they're going to function. And they cannot, what this is saying, they cannot function on principle alone without a pivot of mature believer. Now, that's the title of what we're going to be going over this morning. And the first point is this. A nation may have the best principles, But they are missing something that makes all the difference. And that's mature believers who pray to God for guidance and prepared pastors who accurately teach the Bible. So you can have all the best principles, everything could be perfect. But you don't, if you don't have mature believers who are ongoing, consistently praying to God, and if you don't have a pastor that is prepared and teaches accurately what the Bible teaches, then you're not in a good place, because that is what really counts. And what we can do in our minds here is, when I think about a nation functioning on principle, I think about government, I think about all the things that they have that they pour into the principles that they're going to have. But that fades away when you think about mature believers praying to God for guidance and pastors that are prepared and they are accurately teaching the Word of God. That's what is really important. But how many people, even if I read that first thing to a lot of people, they probably couldn't even follow it. And I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about Christians in churches today. And so that's what's so important, is the spiritual aspect of it. We have to keep that in mind. Of course, when a nation has a principles that they're going to follow and live by, whatever, that is important. But it doesn't even come close to what we have here with the mature believers and the prepared pastors. Point number two. Survival takes, now this is what it takes for not just the things I have here, but here are some more things. And this is just to survive. It's not being overboard on anything, but survival takes evangelism. That's the first thing on the list for a nation, especially a client nation. In fact, you're not a client nation unless you are actively giving the gospel. We call that evangelism. And then positive volition towards doctrine. That can make a church or it can kill a church. There are so many people that go to church and they like to go because there's pretty music there and they have friends there and they have a lot of things going on like that, but they're not even being taught the Word of God, and so they can't grow. They'll never make it to be mature believers. So we have evangelism, positive volition towards doctrine. I would rather have a church that has, let's say, five positive volition towards doctrine attitude. I'd rather have a church that has five people than a monstrous church that has 1,000 people. And they don't have positive volition to doctrine. Because that's what it's all about. That's why you're here. That's why I'm here. We're here to grow and allow God to use us as servants. So, volition towards doctrine. Then, the function of the plan of God. How important is God's plan in your life? I mean, it's easy for us, live in the society we live in, to put nearly everything above our spiritual life, and it should be just the opposite. The spiritual comes first. And the plan of God is, you all know He's got a plan for each one of us, and that's muy importante. That's about all the Spanish I know. Now, we're getting to this part. This is the part that we're going on here when it says, and cognizance of invisible assets provided for each believer. Now, a lot of people, it may be people here, I'm not condemning anybody, but they might not know what that's talking about. And yet, it is one of the most phenomenal things that we have, and most people don't even know what it is. So, you'll see, to the side of that, again, it's saying, after having evangelism, positive volition towards doctrine, the function of God is working in your, the function of God's plan is working in you, and
cognizance of the invisible assets provided for each believer. And that's where most people just think, oh, wait, what is that? So I have in parentheses here, escrow blessings for mature believers. I think this is so important that when I go to the next slide, when I go to the next slide, I change the color of the background there, just so I would make it special. I've taught this before, but not as much as I'm going to teach it today, and I hope that you might learn something that you didn't know before, and it's going to make you love God all the more. So let's go here. First of all, what is escrow and how does it work? Escrow seems like a funny word to me, but what we call them are escrow blessings that God is going to give us. And here's the definition of escrow. A grantor produces a written escrow. An escrow is an agreement. So that starts with the grantor who produces a written escrow agreement, which is deposited with a depositary, which means it's an escrow officer, who holds the escrow until the conditions of the agreement are met, and then delivers it to the grantee. Who is the grantee? You are, and I am, as we will see. So when they meet the conditions of the escrow, then the escrow officer delivers it to the grantee, who will receive the benefits of the escrow. Do I need to read it again or explain it any to you, or are y'all on board? Y'all on board. You know what an escrow is. Okay. The main thing of it is that just somebody comes up with something they want to give, and they deposit that escrow in with another person, because the person that it was made for has to meet certain obligations in that escrow. And when those obligations are met, then what was put in escrow is now given to them, and they receive the benefits of the escrow. Now, this doesn't have any what I'm going to do next. I'm going to show you this one, because this one doesn't have anything in it that speaks of what is really important, and that is, what does God have to say about it? So here we are here. This is number one, doctrine of escrow blessings. This is where I'm going to start, and we're going to take up most of the time. I might get through with this part and move on, but it's really important for us to understand this. Doctrine of the escrow blessings. Now, this is getting in the word that we can understand even better. So, an escrow is a written agreement entered into by three parties. That would be the grantor, and you see it there. God is the grantor, God the Father, and the grantee. You have three principles there. And so the grantee is you, and it's me. And the depositary is Jesus Christ as the Oscar, as the escrow officer for the transfer of escrow blessings. Now, that's the way it is functioning, and those are the players. You have three of them. You have God the Father, who is the grantor. He starts this all in moving. And the grantee is the one who's going to receive that, and that is us. And the depository, God takes the escrow agreement and deposits it, or Jesus Christ is the one that's holding it. And whenever what was entered into that escrow is fulfilled, it's ready to then give to the grantee, which is us. And so that would be the transfer of the escrow blessings. And this is our first hint. Okay, well, what is in that escrow agreement. It is escrow blessings, phenomenal blessings. But you're not going to get it until you meet these qualifications. Okay, this looks like a lot of words here, but I'm going to go slow. The escrow agreement is a promise from God the Father as the grantor who secures invisible assets that are available to every grantee, which is us. So, again, the escrow agreement is a promise from God of what He's going to do, God the Father, as grantor, who secures invisible assets. What are invisible assets? It's the escrow blessings that He's going to give. But He's not going to give them without having a condition. And we'll see that again in a moment. So the grantor who secures the invisible assets that are available to every church-age believer. Did you hear that? Huh? Don't go to sleep. I mean, this is kind of stuff. I go to a banker and he's trying to explain me something and I fall right out of the chair, sound asleep. No, this is saying that God did something in eternity past for you and for me and for every church-age believer, and that is the escrow blessings are being held for us, every one of us. And the escrow blessings for me aren't going to be the same escrow blessings for you because we're different. Every person is different. But God, in eternity past, has taken those escrow blessings and He's holding them for us until we get to a place to where we can fulfill what is needed in order to release those. What was God doing in eternity past? He was thinking about you. He was thinking about me. And these escrow blessings are greater blessings than any other type of blessing. However, the assets will only be conveyed to those who meet conditions of the escrow agreement. Now here's the condition, which is to reach spiritual maturity. That's why people who don't have escrow blessings, they don't get them because they never reach spiritual maturity. That is the condition. And that's why it's so important for all of us to continue to learn doctrine and to apply doctrine and grow in grace and what? Knowledge. That's why we're here. That's what it's all about. And God knew this in eternity past. So He says, I'm going to do something special for the people who are really love me and obey me. I'm going to give them invisible assets. We don't see them, especially right now. But I'm going to set them aside. And when they reach, you could say when they graduate, when they get to that point, I'm going to put these blessings out on them like you wouldn't. It's just completely the highest of the high. So, however, the assets only be conveyed to those who meet the condition of the escrow agreement, which is reaching spiritual maturity. When that occurs, God the Father informs Jesus Christ, the escrow officer, that a grantee, that would be a believer, you and me, whatever it is, whoever it is, I mean, has met the conditions of the escrow agreement, so he delivers the escrow blessings to the mature believer, which immediately go into effect. Now that's something to wait on, isn't it? That's we could aspire to think, well, if we get to be a mature believer, that is, a lot of people say that would be so glorious. That would satisfy me. But God doesn't work with satisfaction. He's giving us these things that we will have. Not only on earth, you have escrow blessings in earth, and you also have even greater escrow blessings in eternity. escrow blessings are infinitely superior to all other categories of blessings for both time and eternity. Now, if you're a mature believer and God has released those escrow blessings, those escrow things that are so wonderful, you're going to enjoy it in time, but you're going to carry it on into eternity, and that's even a greater thing. The date of our escrow blessing was eternity past. He knew you. He knew me. He knew your name. He knew exactly what you would look like, whether you could be male or female. And He specifically has these blessings that are for you. It's not like you just throwing them out there. They are crafted to be the heights of happiness and so forth. Because you reach maturity. The conditions of the escrow are fulfilled by the execution of the unique spiritual life culminating in spiritual maturity. So that's what we're doing. We're living the spiritual life. And, of course, when I say if you're living a spiritual spiritual life, that means you are not lazical about taking in God's Word. You want to take it in. You love it. This is how we have that we obey God, and we are so different than people who are undone by certain circumstances that are they just can't handle them. Well, we can handle them because we've been taking doctrine and we have all this phenomenal information from God to keep us afloat, keep us going. This is point E here. If the conditions of the escrow is not met, then the escrow blessings remain in heaven forever. What a waste. See, I think that there's not many people who are going to get escrow blessings, because there's not many people who reach spiritual maturity. But there's going to be so many. This is all about believers. Unbelievers don't even enter into it right here. So, the escrow blessings will remain in heaven forever. Believers who don't receive escrow blessings do not lose their salvation. It's not like God says, you better get this or I'm going to just kick you out of heaven or something like that. That's silly. But some people would think that that would be part of it, which is not. It's impossible for us to lose our salvation. But they do lose their escrow blessings forever. This is the moment, this is the time when we're on earth that everything is on the line. And if we get off track and we're losing our spiritual acumen, then it's going to be a price in heaven. This is one of them. If you don't get your those escrow's blessings on earth, then they're going to be gone forever. Believers can see their escrow blessings in heaven, in the heavenly hall of records. And now, I don't understand exactly how this works, because if I saw all these things, the blessings that God was going to give me, if I just would be a child of God that was obedient and that I grew grace and knowledge and so forth, it would seem like I would think, oh man, I should have done more then. But I don't think heaven is going to have any, oh man. I think it's going to be just so wonderful. But anyway, I think that's where they go. They have to go somewhere. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2 through 3. Now I'm going to give you some scriptures to undergird what we're talking about with these invisible assets and so forth. This is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2 through 3. grace to you for your benefit and prosperity. This is, by the way, an expanded translation. Grace to you for your benefit and prosperity. And what he's talking about there is escrow blessings from God the Father, the grantor of the escrow blessings, and our Lord Jesus Christ, the depository for the escrow blessings. Worthy of praise and glorification is the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this, what I underlined here. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So that is talking about this escrow blessing, the escrow that is so wonderful. The scriptures below all have this phrase in them, which are related to escrow blessings. Now, Ephesians 1, verse 2 through 3, doesn't have the riches of His glory, but it's all about the escrow blessings. You see it right here, especially at the end. But I'm going to give you a list of verses that are connected to escrow blessings, because every one of them has the riches of His glory. He takes the riches of His glory and gives it as escrow blessings to the people that are mature believers. Here they are. The first one is Ephesians 1, 2 through 3, which doesn't have this phrase, but these other ones do. Ephesians 1, 18. Ephesians 3:16, Philippians 4:19, Colossians 1:27, and 1 Corinthians 2:9. Now, 1 Corinthians 2:9, I looked at it, and it doesn't have the riches of His glory, but it's like Ephesians 1, 2 through 3. That's what it's talking about. So I put that in there as well. So we have Ephesians 1, 2 through 3, Ephesians 1, 18, Ephesians 3, 16, Philippians 4, 19, Colossians 1, 27. We threw in there 1 Corinthians 2, 9 as well. If you don't meet the conditions of the escrow, you will not receive escrow blessings, but God will still protect you, because you don't have the capacity to handle escrow blessings. Now, I'm wording this the best I could, but for all those people who will not receive escrow blessings, it says God will protect you. Now, why is God protecting these people? And the reason is because you don't have the capacity to handle escrow blessings. What happens if you don't have those escrow blessings, it means you don't have the capacity to handle those blessings. And what I mean by that is if you have these people who never reach spiritual maturity, and if God just dumped all these blessings upon them, these escrow blessings, what do you think would happen? They would forget about taking in doctrine. They would forget about everything else. And they would just be distracted by these blessings because they're so phenomenal. And they couldn't handle that. It's just like if somebody wins the lottery. They're just an average person. And then they get the lottery. And it ruins them. Have you ever seen that the people that took a survey and asked all these people who won millions and millions of dollars, and they said, what do you think? And nearly every one of them said, I wish it didn't happen. Because it changes you. Your normal routine and who you are, that big glob of money just changes them, and they start getting relatives calling that they didn't even know they had. that type of thing goes on. In other words, it just, and that's what I'm trying to say here. That's why God is actually protecting you from getting completely off track in your spiritual life, because if they don't have, if they can't handle the escrow blessings, then it's something not good, but something bad for them because they can't handle it. So you would be distracted by these blessings, these blessings and assets, and they may include wealth. That some, you know, God is in your, whatever your escrow is, He's going to put in there whatever is going to be the most phenomenal for you. And so it might be wealth in there, and it would draw you away from your spiritual life and the intake of Bible doctrine. And so that's really important. And see, even in this, God withholding these escrow blessings is a blessing for those people who would be distracted from it, and when the blessings would be overflowing to them, and they'd probably stop taking in doctrine, and they wouldn't have the spiritual edge that they used to. And that would not be something that's good for them. So this was one of my hardest ones to put together, but I hope that you're understanding what I'm saying. God is even lovingly keeping it away from them, because if He just said, okay, well, let's just give it to this guy. Well, He would, if He was a believer that was growing, it would probably change. Most people think that being poor is the hardest test to pass. But actually, being wealthy is the hardest test to pass, because money can replace our relationship with the Lord. Everybody wants to hit the lottery. Everybody wants more money and so forth. I hope we all are mature enough here to know that money cannot make you happy. And a lot of people wouldn't agree with that. So that's the hardest test, is when you have a lot of wealth, you're very wealthy, it's easy to think, I don't need God, I've got everything I want, I can buy anything I want. And that's and so I'm connecting that with what we have in the paragraph above, that if God just gave it to people who didn't have the capacity to handle it, it would just be wrong to do. The key to Christian way of life is our mental attitude at any given moment, which determines our motivation, decisions, and actions. So again, the key to the Christian way of life is what? Our mental attitude. That is, you know, your mental attitude is like the steering wheel in a car. Whatever your mental attitude is, it's going to take you over here. It's going to take you over here. Wherever it is, it's really important. I've said this before. I was in construction, and I was a superintendent, and I would have people who came in, and some of them were really qualified for the job, and but they had an attitude. And then there would be another one come in, and they weren't near as smart as the guy that was looking for the job also, but they had a good mental attitude. If they didn't understand something, they said, well, I'll work on this, I'll make it work, or whatever. And I would, every time, I would take the one that wasn't as smart, but was humble and had a good attitude, I'd take that one every time. So that's the key to our life, is our mental attitude. And at any given moment, we don't know when we're going to have to, in a moment's notice, apply some doctrines that we've learned. So, and if your mental attitude is off, I'd say that you'd be in carnality, but you probably would. If you have a bad mental attitude, you're not going to be in spirituality. You're going to be in carnality at any given moment. So this mental attitude sins determines our motivation and decisions and actions. And that goes along with all this. I'm trying to mix it together to get all of the explanation I can. Now, God gave David many blessings, but he wasn't distracted by them, and he always gave God the glory for them. Now, David was he was a unique guy, and he was when he was on top, he was way on top. But when he fell a long ways. David was given many blessings, but he wasn't distracted from them. And here's the main thing. He always gave God the glory for them. He didn't ever think, well, I deserve those. If you ever tell God that you deserve something, you better back up and look yourself in the mirror, because God doesn't owe us anything. Now, this is a psalm that David wrote. It's Psalm 23, verse 5 through 6. It is an expanded verse. This is David praying to God. You have prepared for me a table in the presence of my enemies. What? You're on the battlefield, and you're face to face with the enemies, and David is saying, you have prepared a table in the presence of my enemies. In other words, their enemies are ready to go to war, and God presents a table for them. What is that saying? God is going to give him the victory, even to the point to where you can just relax. Let's set a table up here. We'll eat for a while or something. You have anointed my head with oil, and that's the way they used to give people advanced things. They pour them on the oil. When a king was, we would say, was inaugurated, what they did was pour the oil over their head, and that showed that he's the king. So you have anointed my head with oil. My cup, and it's talking here about blessings, is overflowing. Only prosperity and grace pursue me all the days of my life. And this is escrow blessings for time. But listen what it says. He says, only prosperity and grace pursue me all the days of my life. He's not pursuing them. They're pursuing him. These are escrow blessings. Prosperity and grace pursue. Would you like to have that? Would you like to have prosperity and grace pursuing you all the days of your life? Would you like to have that? Well, you can if you meet the escrow condition of becoming mature believers. So that's blessings for time. And then he says, and I will remain in the house of the Lord forever. And that's referring to escrow blessings in eternity. Here is the bottom line. Our gracious, benevolent God, in eternity past, devised a personal, specific plan for the life of every church-age believer. And we can stop and think about that. Every church-age believer, God was thinking about them and gave them a specific plan for the life of every church. So not only was he giving us, or he was putting together our escrow blessings, but also he had a specific plan for every single church age believer. And also he set aside personal, specific escrow blessings for every believer. So before he even created the world, he was thinking about us, and he put these escrow blessings, hoping that you will reach spiritual maturity so that he can give you so much. And they are, again, personal, specific escrow blessings for every believer. Every believer has equal opportunity to execute God's plan for their life. Nobody has an edge here. We all start on the same plane. And those who are closer to God and they are growing, then they automatically they will be administering God's plan for their life. And nobody has a leg up on this. We all start on the same plane. So every believer has equal opportunity to execute God's plan. So nobody can say, oh, well, your daddy knew somebody and did this or whatever, and so you've got an edge. No, we all start on the same plane. And those who love God, who obey God, and their relationship with God is just soaring, then they're going to have that escrow blessing, and it's going to be personal, and it's going to be specific for them. Every believer has equal opportunity to execute God's plan for their life, and an equal opportunity to receive escrow blessings in time and eternity by reaching spiritual maturity. Reaching spiritual maturity of itself is huge. But God was thinking about you in eternity past, and He wanted to add this to you. That's how much He loves us. How would you like to sit down and make a plan for billions and billions of people and have it be specific? How can anyone who understands the wonderful things that God did for us in eternity past not be eternally grateful to Him and to be in awe of His love, His faithfulness, and His power? And I'm going to close on this one right here. It isn't too late for us to act on the knowledge that we now know. You can't say, well, I didn't know. Now you know. And that could be inspiring. It should be inspiring to every one of us. It should get our attention. So this was a lot in one session here. But it's not that complicated. And so I think all of us need to have a little chat with God, especially if you didn't know that there were these kind of blessings that He wants to give you, and spur you on to spiritual maturity. This is, gives you a little grain of salt with regards to how awesome our God is. And I was so pleased to put this together, because it's the escrow blessings are beyond any other kind of blessings that you can have. Let me see. I think this was the last slide, but I'm going to click this and see what happens. See if there's anything else. Okay. That's for next time. You see the color change? I thought so much about these, I said I have to do something to make them stand out, so I put that color there. Okay, well, and I can't believe it. It's right on time that we can continue. So, I don't know about you, but I want those escrow blessings. And it's, the thing about it is, you say, yeah, but you have to go to church and learn doctrine, and you have to be obedient in these kind of things. A lot of people think, oh, that's I don't like to do those things. Well, you're the one that needs them the most then. And I'm just overwhelmed by all these things that God did for us. And I don't know how many percent of people understand or have been taught that these are there waiting for you to get to maturity so He can give you even all these blessings. And it's going to be a shame when so many people don't even know this exists. And I would hate to be the pastor of that church, because he's the one on the grail. He's the one that's supposed to be teaching these things. And if they're not taught, then the Lord is going to have to deal with him. Anyway, let's close. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful as we get another way that we can see you love us so much. And these things were done in eternity past. And your love is unending. We pray that you will help us to take this seriously, because if you don't reach spiritual maturity, then those blessings will not be given to people. I try to explain why. But we just we need to tell other people about how great our God is. And not being bashful about it. We need to tell them, I'm so excited I learned something in church today. I can get all these phenomenal blessings. And on the way, you're going to have a greater relationship with God. And that's the most important thing you have, is your relationship with God. So we pray that we all will continue to keep on taking in the Word. And that we try harder to obey. And just be in awe of who and what you are. We thank you for all of this. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.